an easy start to your Saturday morning. Gonna have a great Saturday morning. Right here at Rosie on the House. At 10 o'clock, the 10 o'clock hour, 10 to 11, we'll have special guest in Jeff Carmichael from Rheus, talking about the six most common air conditioning problems this time of year and how you can beat them, avoid them, and manage your way around them. 9 o'clock hour will be open hour for any of you having a project you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin. That would be a great opportunity for you to dial in. We'll take any question on any topic having to do with home improvement or home remodeling. In the 8 o'clock hour, we've got...
Outdoor Living Hour. It is the Urban Farming Weekend, and we'll be talking edible landscapes.
Aha. If you're going to water it, fertilize it, cut it, trim it, hedge it, care for it, you might as well be able to eat it.
No doubt.
That goes a long way for eliminating oleanders, right?
Yes, and for using water wisely.
And then this morning in the 7 o'clock hour, we've got special guest editor of the Arizona Highways Magazine, repeat guest, Mr. Robert Steve. Robert, again, thanks a million for coming in.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me. I always love coming down here to see you guys.
Hey, y'all are here in the beginning of Q4, wrapping up your special collector's edition version of the magazine.
Yeah, it seems like we were just here talking about the initiation of this thing. And for your listeners and who aren't subscribers, we've done a little something different this year. We've sort of done a year-long theme called the Explore Arizona series. And for each of the covers, we've broke tradition and have been doing these illustrated covers. There's a very talented artist down in Tucson named Chris Gall, who has done all kinds of things, does work for DreamWorks and others. And so he kind of talked about this sort of passion of his to do these what we call vintage travel posters. And so we sat down with him and came up with 12 destinations, and we've seen 11 of the covers. He still has one more. He's still working on Monument Valley, which we haven't seen yet, but subscribers just are getting the October issue, which has a beautiful Canyon de Chelly on it.
Well, we'll talk more about what's coming up. April was Sonora, Patagonia, one of Jennifer's little favorite corners of the state. Mm-hmm. Loving that area. June was the Catalinas.
Mm-hmm,
I have to admit, that's a range of mountains I haven't spent very much time in.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And then July, we had the White Mountains, which we know pretty well.
Yeah, and we were talking, before the show started, just about the diversity in Arizona and just, you can point your compass in any direction and see something completely different. So I think you just illustrated that right there with the list of those places.
I had an occasion I had to drive to Springerville last Sunday, round trip there and back in a day.
Oh, yeah.
And it is so green, it is so tall. The wildflowers are in such wild bloom. If you want to get a good taste of what the White Mountains look like after a heavy rain summer, now would be a great time to go. I was talking to Stan in the office, and he says, you know what, Nancy booked a couple nights at Tawiwi Lodge. So they're going to jump in the truck and go check it out. It is absolutely gorgeous. And the week before, Jennifer and I had just driven through Monument Valley and, painted the Petrified Forest. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it's almost this unfair advantage we have. Almost every road is a scenic drive, if you point the car in the right direction.
So what do you have coming in the next couple months? You mentioned Canyon de Chelly is coming up.
Yeah, that's the subscriber should be getting that this week, I would think. Be on newsstands pretty soon. And then we're going to follow up with Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon. Another beautiful place that has a lot of history. I've been spending a lot of time digging through our archives, reading old things, and it's really amazing. I mean, I don't think there are many places in Arizona that have changed more in, you only have to go back to about 1945 to that place being, essentially not even on the map. We did a very famous, our art director, longtime art director, George Avey, made this very famous map, which we've reproduced as a poster in the last couple of years. And, you know, you look at it, Sedona's not even on there. He did all these great little illustrations. And, you know, when we re-released that poster, I got all these calls, you know, where's Sedona? It's like the map was done in 1939. I mean, Sedona wasn't a conversation back then. So we're resurrecting this great old story from 1959, and it's kind of got that mid-century writing style. The language is just a little, aw shucks, you know, so gosh darn swell kind of writing. And but, you know, the writer took this tour, and the things that he saw back then that are so different now. But, of course, you know, what makes Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon so great is sort of getting off the beaten path and, you know, exploring all the beautiful canyons up there. I mean, as a hiker, you know, I don't know of a place in Arizona that has a more concentrated number of great hikes. I mean, even the Grand Canyon, I mean, a lot of that sort of backcountry stuff, but Sedona is an embarrassment of riches when it comes to that.
Well, I did find the best burger in Arizona. I was in Sedona yesterday.
Oh.
Oak Creek Brewery.
Oh.
The Baja Burger.
Oh, really?
I mean, I've got to call Roger Naylor and see, was that in his book? I got to find.
Well, we have the book of
burgers,
we should have checked.
Burgers and Boots.
Boots and Burgers.
You still look happy from that burger. I can still see the smile on your face.
There was this Tabasco mayo blend jalapeno thing going on. Mm. I mean, and they cooked it to perfection.
Yeah, you know, Sedona has changed a lot, right? And so, you know, people sort of lament the fact that there's a little bit of traffic up there and things. But, you know, with all that comes what you're talking about, some really great amenities, some really great restaurants up there, so many great places to stay. And, again, if you put a little effort in, you can disappear in those canyons in a good way, you know, and get away. I mean, I, again, spend a lot of time hiking and oftentimes don't see another human being, so great destination.
Our last staycation winter actually was focused on getting to know Sycamore Canyon.
Oh, right.
And they just went and they stayed in Williams, but they would drive down every day and go hike another component of Sycamore Canyon. She taught me, I didn't know this, that Sycamore Canyon is the second largest canyon in Arizona. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is, and it's very remote. I mean, there's a lot of great history there. I mean, there's even talk that there are, you know, people have stayed there and had UFO experiences and all kinds of crazy things. But, you know, the history, cattle rustlers and stuff used to disappear into Sycamore Canyon. And again, a ton of great hikes up in there. They're a little more rugged and remote. The one that your winner took from Williams, those are a little bit easier to get to. But you can, you know, and you can come in from Prescott, you can come in from Cottonwood, you can come in from Williams. It is a big canyon, and it is a beautiful canyon. It's definitely one of my favorite places.
What was your most current favorite hike? I mean, you're out all the time.
Yeah.
The Arizona Highways is the only magazine where I read a letter from the editor.
Really?
I mean, would you read letter from the editor of Pro Remodeler?
Well, I can't really say I would, but
qualified remodeler.
Well, qualified remodeler for sure. I read that every month. Well, I do appreciate it. So there's my mother and my father and you, Rosie. I'm in good company.
Well, that letter is kind of like a secret view into Robert Steve's head. Okay, he's going to tell you what in this issue was really, really special to him. And for someone that's been in, about, and through Arizona as much as you, which, by the way, I hate you for, only because I'm jealous.
I understand.
You get a little glimpse into, okay, I'm going to go through the magazine, but the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the things you've brought up in the letter to the editor and say, okay, if he wants you to know some secret little thing about this issue, it's right here.
Well, and I do appreciate you saying that. You know what? Arizona Highways has such a deep history that, you know, a lot of the things I write about are some of the old stories tied to the history of the magazine. You know, when we were banned in the Soviet Union in the 1960s as a magazine, and so there's a lot of history. And, you know, talking about the different photographers and writers and some of their backstories and things, and you know, usually there's a way to tie that to what we're focusing on with the current issue.
If we wanted you to bring in a photographer, do they talk much?
Well, you know, writers and photographers are interesting characters.
Not always very verbal.
Yeah, you know, so it just depends. There are some that I could find you one for sure. Well, I mean, there are some that we let them out of the cages once in a while and let them actually.
It would just be really interesting to know, you know, how many hours someone spent getting a particular picture and what distance they had to climb and how remote they had to be and how.
Yeah.
It would just be really interesting.
There are great stories. One of our longtime photographers, Jack Dikinga, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer, you know, one of his most famous shots, he had to hike into a place 4 hours to get to the spot. And the first time he went, the gentleman that escorted him in there, Jack was running a little bit late, and they got there like 2 minutes too late. And the guy's like, no point in getting the cameras out. We missed it. Oh. And so he ultimately went back to that one spot, I think, 8 different times to get a single shot. So most of those stories aren't as extreme as that, but you bring up a great point. I mean, I think most of our landscape photographers, you know, they spend probably 300 days a year living out of the back of their campers and waiting for the clouds and the sun and all of the other things that go on out there.
I gave up my outdoor photography career in high school when I checked out a camera from the journalist, the school newspaper, and they wanted pictures of some of my outdoor stuff.
Right.
So we were up behind Lake Roosevelt in the Sierra Anchas. Is that
Yep, love that. And another undiscovered place. Yeah, here alone
yourself.
Out there.
And they wanted pictures of bears. So lots of prickly pear back up there, lots of manzanita. So we were out there photographing bears, and we were kind of on a little precipice, and I had the camera mounted on a tripod. And I turned around after staring through binoculars trying to get the shot, and there was a bear like 5 feet behind me. And so it startled me to the point I bumped the camera.
Oh, no.
And it went tumbling about 200 feet off the edge of the cliff. And I almost followed it because that bear looked a little bit too interested. But that was 35 millimeter.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It clicked 4 pictures on the way down.
Did were they great shots?
No, I did. I did retrieve the camera and I did get the film.
And you were fired.
And I was fired.
Oh well, you know. But what a great way to go out, right?
That was my start of construction because then I had to get a job to pay for the camera. There you go, Gary.